Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12 and reading from the New King James Version. Let's read these 10 verses down through the end of the chapter. We were looking at verse 12 and in this context when we ended last Wednesday evening. I might make mention before we read this, though, that beginning at chapter 5, Paul began to mention some of the blessings that comes from justification. Remember, justification is being pronounced or declared righteous. He mentioned several of those blessings in verse 1 and following, Romans 5. He continues with the justification by faith in this context through the end of the chapter, but in reference to how that justification came about through the obedient act of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see that in the context. Romans 5 and in verse 12, therefore just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Back in Romans 5 and in verse 12, we see begins with the word therefore, begins to draw a conclusion off of that which was mentioned in the previous context of chapter 5, wherefore in some versions of the King James Version. But I want you to note the next thing is that verse 13, if your Bible is like mine, the King James or the New King James, it has verse 13 through verse 17 set off with parentheses, indicating that it's a parenthetical statement. The thought from verse 12 does not pick up to verse 18 again, if you'll note that. Now, you may have a version that doesn't indicate that and set that parenthetical statement off. Does anyone have a version that doesn't do that? I believe most of the versions do. So, we noted this last Wednesday evening. We simply read from verse 12 to verse 18 where the thought picks up again. We'll not take time to do that again tonight. But we're going to read from verse 12 and then consider the parenthetical statement and pick up with verse 18 then, and read verse 12 again before we do 18, if I can remember to do that when we come to it. The parenthetical statement, there's a couple of things I want us to note before we begin our study on it, though. In that parenthetical statement, you'll notice several words in italics been added by the translators. This section of text is very elliptical. That is, there's several ellipses in it. That is, words or phrases have been omitted. Some have been included by the translators to make it read legibly for us, because if we just took the text as the Greek text gave it and would translate it as the Greek text gave it, it'd be incomprehensible for us. And so it was necessary that some words be added in italics, and even some other words could have been added that would have helped. But nonetheless, I wanted to bring that to your attention. That's why you see so many words in parentheses that have been added. It helps with the understanding of the text itself. Something else I want us to notice in verse 13 through verse 17 as well, we're going to see words that have reference to the same thing, but they're different words. You're going to see the word sin, you're going to see the word offense, you're going to see the word transgression. All of those have reference to the same thing. It's the act of disobedience that is under consideration that Adam engaged in. He engaged in sin, he engaged in a trespass, he engaged in an offense. All of those things have reference to the same thing. So once we recognize and realize that, when we come to those words, if it makes it easier for you, just think about sin, because all of it has reference to the sin or the offense of disobedience that Adam committed. Beginning in verse 12 now, Romans 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and that man would be Adam. Sin entered the world through Adam. That is, through his disobedience in the Garden of Eden, sin came into the world. At that time, sin was not in the world. Now we need to define sin again. Remember, sin is a transgression of law. 1 John 3 and verse 4. So, there must have been law. Yes, there was law in the Garden of Eden. Law is simply God's rule of conduct and behavior. He had given rules, regulations, and conduct to Adam and Eve. One of those rules was, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat of, you will surely die. And so, Adam transgressed. He violated. He broke that law of God, thus he sinned. Romans 5 and in verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, that was Adam, sin entered the world. You might say there's an ellipsis there, sin entered into the world. And death through sin. What kind of death then? It's spiritual death under consideration. We know that to be the case. As we look at the context, we see what's under consideration. Spiritual death came to Adam because he separated himself from God when he sinned. Thus he died spiritually on that occasion. And thus death spread to all men. Why did death spread to all men? Well, it wasn't because all men sinned in Adam. It wasn't because Adam was totally depraved. No, it was because all men sinned. Spiritual death spread to all men simply because all men sinned. Now you might pick up a commentary and say the death under consideration is physical death. But that's, as we look at the context, we'll see that it is spiritual death and spiritual life that is being contrasted. As a matter of fact, we're going to see it in the chapter 6. Spiritual life comes after one dies in baptism. That is, he puts off the old man of sin and death. He's raised to walk in newness of life, spiritual life. So what is mentioned in chapter 5 spills over into chapter 6 in regard to baptism. We'll see that when we come to it. All right, let's look at this parenthetical statement. Spend a little time on it. Verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. For gives a reason for the previous statement. That's that Greek conjunction gar. So, verse 12 again. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For, here's the reason why that. For until the law under consideration is the law of Moses. For until the law of Moses, sin was in the world. Now how could sin be in the world, but the law of Moses had not yet come? Because there was already law. It wasn't a written and codified law. The rules that governed and laws that governed Adam and Eve were not written and codified. They were not written down like the law of Moses was, but it was law. The Word of God is law. And so until the law of Moses, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Sin is not put down to one's charge where there is no law. The point is Adam and Eve were guilty of violating law. They were transgressors of law. They had sinned and thus brought spiritual death upon themselves. And all their posterity after that simply followed in their footsteps and sinned as well. Thus, all have brought spiritual death upon them. But sin is not imputed. It's not put down to one's charge where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Death reigned. Death ruled and reigned. Spiritual death ruled and reigned over man from Adam to Moses, even though there was no written and codified law. Why? Because all sinned. That's why death reigned. Spiritual death reigned. Spiritual death ruled between Adam and Moses. Why? Because they were violators of God's law. So nevertheless, death reigned. Spiritual death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness or similitude of the transgression of Adam. Adam was the only one who could sin the sin that he sinned. No one else could partake of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. They were the only ones there. And so no one has sinned like or after the similitude of Adam. And so even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, even over those, even over Cain, Tommy, even over Cain. Cain didn't sin after the likeness or similitude of Adam. Adam took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He violated a positive command of God. Cain slew his brother. He committed a moral sin. He committed murder. And so that sin was not like, or it was not similar to the sin that Adam committed. And so that's what is under consideration here. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression. There's that word, transgression or sin of Adam. So earlier it's mentioned as sin, here it's mentioned as a transgression. Who is a type of him who was to come. So Adam is a type of him who was to come. At this particular point in time in history, Christ was the one to come. But of course, he has already come when this is written, but it's been written as if he had not yet come. So Adam was a type of him, a type of Jesus, our Lord, who was to come. Now, we might be familiar with types. Verse 15, Romans 5. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Now note this. But the free gift is not like the offense. What is the offense? I'm going to ask you a few questions here. Make sure you understand. What's the offense? Adam's sin in the garden. That's the offense. It's his act of disobedience. That's the offense. That's the transgression in the previous verse. That's the sin earlier mentioned. So the free gift is not like the offense. It's not like the disobedient act of Adam. Now we determine what the free gift is.
It's Jesus Christ.
It's Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Okay. The free gift is the opposite of what Adam did.
Forgiveness?
Okay, let me go back to the word type here. I started to mention that a few moments ago. Sometimes when we look at types, sometimes different characteristics of a type are given. For example, the brass serpent that was raised up on the pole was a type of Christ being crucified. But every type doesn't present every particular specific in regard to its antitype. The type under consideration is Adam, the antitype of Adam would be Christ, but their characteristics are not under consideration in the context. It's what they did that is under consideration in the context. You've got Adam's offense on one hand being contrast with Jesus' act of obedience on the other hand. So Adam is a type of Christ. Christ is the antitype of the type. The type was the act of disobedience for Adam. The one gift or the free gift is the obedient act of Jesus Christ in giving his life for our sins. That's the free gift. It's called a free gift because by grace and favor, he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Now this goes back in the context. Go back with me in the context. Let's just note verse 6, chapter 5. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for, on behalf of the ungodly. Verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Died for us who were ungodly, who were sinners. He died on our behalf. The gift under consideration, the free gift in verse 15, is the obedient act of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for our sins. You'll see that as we continue here. So the contrast is between the disobedient act of Adam and the obedient act of Jesus Christ. This might remind you of, thought I made a note of Philippians 2 and in verse 8. Philippians 2 and in verse 8. He was obedient even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That is Jesus Christ. So verse 15, but the free gift does not like the offense. What was the offense? The offense was the disobedient act of Adam. That was the sin that he committed. So the free gift is put in contrast to that offense. So the free gift is not like, it's not similar to the disobedient act of Adam. For if by the one man's offense, that one man would be Adam, his offense was his disobedient act. For if by the one man's offense, many died spiritually. Why did many die spiritually? Because of Adam's sin. Because all men followed in his footsteps. They all sinned just like he sinned. They died spiritually. Spiritual death is that which is under consideration. Because all men don't die physically because of sin. What about babies who've never sinned? So all men die spiritually because of sin. Now, men die as a consequence of Adam's sin, but it's only because Adam was driven from the Garden of Eden and separated from the tree of life. Thus he could not partake of the tree of life and live forever. That's why he was driven from the Garden of Eden. Thus, because all men are mortal like Adam, all men die physically. Why? Because Adam sinned? No. Because Adam was separated from the tree of life. And we're simply the posterity of Adam. We're the offspring of Adam. Adam was separated from it. We've been separated from it as a consequence or a result of Adam's sin. Not necessarily because of his sin. And so we die simply because we're mortal. That's why we die. Everybody dies because they're mortal. Mortal flesh was never intended to last forever. All right, picking back up in verse 15, but the free gift again is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf. It's free because we didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. Based upon his favor and grace toward us, he died on our behalf. But the free gift is not like the offense. Not like the offense of Adam. the disobedient act of Adam. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, many died spiritually, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So note this. This tells us that what's under consideration here in regard to the free gift is not the grace of God, but it is something different. Much more the grace of God and, note the little coordinating conjunction, the gift by the grace or favor of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So what would be that grace or favor of Jesus Christ that abounded to many? His death as a sacrifice for our sins. It abounded to many. It abounded to many. Adam sinned, and all of his posterity after him sinned. So death reigned over all men, because all men sinned. But guess what? Jesus Christ comes along. In one obedient act, he sacrifices himself for the sins of mankind. And that grace, that act of obedience, abounds to the salvation of many. Verse 16, and the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. It's not like that which came through Adam who sinned. Note sinned instead of transgressed or committed offense. So the gift, that is, the obedient act of Jesus Christ on our behalf, is not like that which came through Adam who sinned, his disobedient act. For the judgment which came from one offense, that's Adam's offense, Adam's sin, Adam's transgression, resulted in condemnation. Condemnation. That is, it resulted in what? Resulted in spiritual death. That's the condemnation it resulted in. But the free gift, that is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf, which came from many offenses, many sins, many transgressions. Why? Well, Adam sinned one sin, and from that spiritual death came. But his posterity after that sinned many, 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 many more times. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, note this, resulted in what? Justification. Do we not see that the free gift is the act of Jesus Christ giving himself as a sacrifice for our sin? It goes back in the context to where we were reading there a few moments ago in verse 6 and in verse 8. Verse 17, Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, that was Adam, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, note this, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Will reign in life. We reign in spiritual life by or through the one, Jesus Christ. We reign and rule with him now. We have spiritual life now in Christ Jesus. We're justified by faith now in Christ Jesus. Verse 18, Romans 5. Therefore, as through or by one man's offense, that's Adam again, judgment came to all men resulting in condemnation, resulting in spiritual death, even so through one man's righteous act, that's the righteous act of Jesus Christ on our behalf, dying for our sins. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in what? Justification of life. Resulting in or unto justification of life. Life, spiritual life. That's why I said that it seems so obvious that the death is spiritual death because the life has to be spiritual life. There would be no contrast between physical death and spiritual life. The contrast is between spiritual death, separation from God, to spiritual life, a relationship with God. So verse 19, let's go back to verse 12 and read from verse 12 through verse 18 now, because we ended the parenthetical statement with verse 17. Note the word therefore beginning the verse 18. Verse 12 again, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, that's Adam's offense, Adam's sin, Adam's transgression, Adam's act of disobedience, judgment came to all men. Why did judgment come to all men, resulting in condemnation, resulting in spiritual death? Because all men sinned. All men simply followed in the steps of Adam. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Through one man's righteous act. The one man, of course, is Jesus Christ. The righteous act is his sacrifice for our sins. So that sacrifice resulted in our justification. Back in the context, Romans 5, verse 6 again. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, there's his death on our behalf, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's the condemnation. We'll be saved from spiritual death through him, by or through his sacrifice on our behalf. Verse 19, Romans 5. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's disobedience, the one man, of course, was Adam. His disobedience, referred to in the text as sin, transgression, offense. So by one man's disobedient act, many were made sinners. Now, how was many made sinners by Adam's disobedient act? The Calvinist says, well, we inherited sin from Adam. No. It's because we all sinned. We simply did what he did.
We inherited the penalty, not the guilt.
We inherited
the penalty. The penalty of Adam's
sin. And what was that penalty?
Death.
Spiritual death, yes. Okay. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, note this, so also by one man's obedience, that one man is our Lord Jesus Christ, by one man's act of obedience, his death on the cross, many will be made righteous. Remember justification, when one is said to be justified, he's said to be declared or made righteous. Thus, many are made righteous or justified by the act of Jesus Christ. Now, this is conditional. This is conditional. We're not justified or made righteous simply by the act, the obedience of Jesus Christ. What are we going to have to do? We're going to have to act. We're going to have to do something in order to be justified or made righteous. Just the mere fact that Jesus died for all men, and his death was for all men, and through that death, it resulted in justification for life. Note verse 19 again. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Many will be made righteous, but not all will be made righteous, because not all are going to obey in order to be made righteous. In order for Adam to suffer the consequences of sin, he had to disobey. In order for us to accept the righteousness of God, we're going to have to obey. Verse 20, Romans 5. Moreover, the law entered that the sin might abound. I take the law here to be the law of Moses. The law entered that the offense might abound. Might abound. That the offense or the sin or the transgression might abound. You know, every time our legislature makes more laws,
you're more subject to violating laws. You know that? The more laws there are on the book, the greater possibility you're going to violate a law. As a matter of fact, sometimes we violate law and we don't even know we're violating law because we didn't know it was on the books. So that's an illustration for this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The law of Moses was given so people would recognize what sin is. And as God gave law, and He gave more law, there was a possibility of more people sinning. For example, before Abraham, no one violated the law of circumcision because there was no law of circumcision. But after that, there was a law of circumcision. Well, during the days of Moses, no one violated the command to be baptized for the remission of sins because baptism for the remission of sins wasn't required. So, as more law was given, the possibility of people committing transgressions of that law abounded. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, note this, grace abounded much more. Even though God continued to give law and continued to give rules and regulations to govern man's behavior, man continued to sin. And as man continued to sin, God's grace continued to abound. You might say it continued to multiply. Verse 21, chapter 5, then we'll end our study. We're out of time. So that as sin reigned in death, sin reigned in spiritual death. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, we'll pick up at chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. Good comments, good study. Thank you very much for your kind attention.